MBA from the Stanford Graduate School of Business.
Phosphorus and glyphosate-based herbicides have been in the news lately since, Mr. Trump's executive order. You know that guy who's engineering a bombing campaign with his friends from Israel? Well, he's doing other things. We're going to talk about the bombing campaign in later things, but it's weighing on, I would say, all of us, an entire nation, and it's extremely concerning. But today we're going to focus on some other things that the present administration is working on. They're talking, Mr. Trump had an executive order calling for an increase of phosphorus and glyphosate-based herbicides, an increase in their production rather than banning, which we have all been working on for literally decades. Why would we want to ban them? Because they are dangerous to all of us. Yes, they might increase some agricultural productivity, but at what cost? That's what we deal with around here. At what cost? We have done a number of shows here on the fact that these chemicals are linked to an increase in multiple type of cancers in humans and have a whole list of detrimental impacts on ecosystems, insect populations, wildlife, water quality. The list goes on. The word is agricultural productivity. That's what they talk about, and that is anything having to do with productivity, money, and of course, influence trafficking, which is big money too. And those of us here who are fighting for health of our ecosystems and our very selves just don't have the money to put up to say this thing should be banned. Glyphosate, Roundup should be banned forever. And because healthier alternatives to growing, providing food, we've featured a number of advocates, farmers, scientists on this show who push for regenerative organic farming. There's an incredible movement for it. Maybe it won't replace all farming, but it could replace the majority and certainly ramping up production of dangerous herbicides like glyphosate is something we need to stop. So we had Kelly Ryerson, glyphosate girl. She specializes in glyphosate, although she doesn't call herself that as much anymore. We had her on the show in 2023, and we thought we'd feature excerpts of that interview again as she covers the basics about glyphosate, Monsanto, Bayer's Roundup herbicide, and its impact on environmental health. Here's her update, which she recently posted on her Instagram page, Glyphosate Girl.
Okay, time for a check-in because this has been quite a week in the glyphosate world. If you follow my account, Glyphosate Girl, you likely know that last week there was an executive order to increase the manufacturing of glyphosate domestically under the umbrella of national security. Now, of course, we know that we really have a national security issue in that we have an entire agriculture system based on chemicals, and that those very chemicals are also at the base of our chronic disease epidemic and creating a future of infertility. So that is the actual national security issue that's going on. However, this executive order is only one small piece of the larger picture going on that is the real crisis. And that is this push from multiple different areas for a pesticide liability shield, meaning that if a liability shield passes, we will not be able to sue pesticide manufacturers if we get sick from exposure to 57,000 different pesticides. This is being pushed at the state level. In North Dakota and in Georgia, you can no longer sue pesticide manufacturers if you get sick from exposure. They're trying to do that in a lot of different states. Just last week, the Farm Bill came out from the House Ag Committee, and lo and behold, there's pesticide liability shield legislation in there, as well as some expanded shields and stripping our right to do any kind of local pesticide regulation or restriction, say around schoolyards. They want to take that away so that our kids can also be exposed. I mean, sick. And the other thing is that the head of that House Ag Committee, G.T. Thompson, also is someone who's out there on the regular talking about how pro-life he is and how nothing's more important than children and making sure that we can have lots of babies. And I'm looking at that, and how do you reconcile that with the very, very chemicals that are stripping our ability to have babies, creating miscarriages, all of this evidence that this is what's happening. So the hypocrisy is astounding. But There is some good news that Thomas Massie has come out with a bill, and it is called the No Immunity for Glyphosate Act. It's in direct response to the executive order. It's a bipartisan act. I love it because, as we know, poison is nonpartisan. Shelley Pingree, Lauren Boebert, Nancy Mace, Ro Khanna, Anna Paulina Luna all signing on as co-sponsors for this bill, so we're going to keep an eye on that. Also keeping an eye on the Supreme Court, because the big glyphosate cancer case finally hits the Supreme Court, where it never should have gotten in the first place. But if Bayer wins that, which it seems like the White House is signaling they hope that they do, then we will not be able to sue pesticide manufacturers when we get sick. So a lot is on the table right now. It's exhausting. Please stay tuned, because we're going to have more calls to action.
This is Cultivate Elevate 2 on Instagram, talking RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and his interesting Trump decreed perspective on the glyphosate for food security executive order. It's a major disappointment, but maybe not so much of a surprise considering what's happened to our former friend, RFK Jr., who has done some incredible environmental campaigning. I've had him, you know, at different events that we've featured. He's been a good influence up until, you know, recent years. He seems to have lost his way in some ways. But, and this is another example of that. Cultivate, Elevate 2.
So it seems RFK was on Joe Rogan's podcast to talk about glyphosate. Let's play the clip.
If you ban glyphosate overnight, or if you got rid of it, or if somebody else cut off our supply, it would destroy the American food system. And
how crazy is that statement? The entire system is based on using the poison.
Right.
So he said that the food system would collapse if we didn't have glyphosate. So here's a list of all the countries that grow food without glyphosate. How do they have food then? And on top of that, glyphosate is linked to diarrhea, vomiting, skin, ear, irritation, respiratory issues, physical symptoms such as the throat burning, and then cancer. So we keep them? So instead of banning the poison, we're going to sell the farmers laser machines that are hooked up to Elon Musk. They also have the internet, GPS, and they cost $1.4 million per machine. Does any of this make sense? And it's also wild how the administration can't seem to talk to the Amish, but they can raid their farms when they grow everything organically without robots and Wi-Fi. There's also Joe Salatin, who doesn't use any Bayer Rothschild chemicals on his land, and he grows everything organically. What an epiphany.
Maha Action, that's Make America Healthy Again, has posted this clip from Robert Kennedy Jr., talking about the Supreme Court possibly granting immunity of the glyphosate makers and other noxious chemicals from liability. That's coming up in April. RFK Jr.
Now, he understands the problem, too. We all understand that this is a huge problem. So the president was dealing with national security, and they did something that I really don't like, which is to support. There's a lawsuit about that's now before the Supreme Court, but in the lower court they supported. It is asked for federal preemption. So that would mean that if the federal label says that this is safe, that these state lawsuits now cannot be brought. So it would throw out a lot of the state lawsuits and effectively gives them immunity from liability, which is, you know, to me, it's not good to give any company immunity from liability. It takes away all incentive for them to make the product safer. Again, the president is dealing with bigger issues, which is the company that's making this has paid $11 billion to, you know, in my lawsuit, they're just about to sign another $7.6 billion settlement. There's 65,000 cases out there, and they've said, we're getting out of this business, you know, if we don't get relief.
Aloha, this is Carrie Kim. Kelly Ryerson of Glyphosate Facts joins us to share what we need to know and do about glyphosate, a harmful yet widely used herbicide ingredient. We thank the Tongva ancestors for their continuing presence, legacy, and stewardship of this area. Our show comes to you from the homelands of the Tongva and all of their relatives. Herbicides, glyphosate, one of the most common ingredients in herbicides and the main ingredient in Monsanto's infamous weed killer, Roundup. Roundup is one of the world's most widely used herbicides. Monsanto is now owned by pharma giant Bayer, as most of you may know. In 2015, the International Agency for Research on Cancer classified glyphosate as probably carcinogenic in humans and confirmed to cause cancer in lab animals. However, The EPA continues to maintain that glyphosate is safe for human use, despite multiple studies demonstrating otherwise. Roundup and glyphosate-based products have had devastating impacts on our food systems, agriculture, public health, and ecosystem in the broadest sense. Introduced as part of the 70s Green Revolution, Roundup was touted as a product that would help address poverty by increasing crop yields and agricultural production. Glyphosate radically altered the face of farming on this continent. Small family farms, once the norm, were quickly overshadowed by the industrial farms of Big Ag and Big Chem. Herbicides, GMOs, monocropping, and soil degradation became the standard over biodiversity and soil health, to which we attribute current astounding rates of chronic and degenerative diseases. Cancer, including non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, digestive disorders, diabetes, obesity, autism, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, allergies, kidney, liver, and autoimmune diseases are often correlated with widespread use of glyphosate, as well as reproductive issues, infertility, and sperm count declines. While glyphosate continues to be a planetary health emergency, we as a collective can catalyze change by making informed consumer choices and advocating against chemical products and farming practices that cause irreparable harm. Plaintiffs have begun to win in court to redress harms they suffered from Roundup. However, it will take many more of us to fully eradicate not only glyphosate, but all toxic chemicals for planetary health. Kelly Ryerson is here to show us how. We just might arrive there sooner. Welcome to the show, Kelly.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here to talk about this.
Thanks for your irrepressible commitment and conviction to eliminate glyphosate from our environment in our lifetimes.
Yes, hopefully. That is my goal.
You sent us a picture which says, Roundup gave me leaky gut. Can you tell us about your own health journey related to Roundup? I'm assuming there is a story there.
Yes, there certainly is. Usually people don't wear t-shirts around that say, Roundup gave me leaky gut, although people have asked to buy that t-shirt, so maybe I should be printing them. So I, like many Americans and actually people globally, I started feeling just really off and really sick in different body systems. And it was just really hard to assess what was going on with me. But just to give you an idea of some of the symptoms, it started really with fatigue, just being really too tired and not excited to get up and do things anymore. And I had had a baby like a few years earlier. And so you can kind of attribute that to, oh, well, maybe it's being a mom with a young child or whatever. But it became sort of more than that, where I was having really strange tingling in my hands. I was getting headaches. My vision wasn't great. I had rashes on my body and my digestion was just off. I couldn't keep on weight. Just these things were starting to accumulate that definitely were scary, frankly. And I saw my primary care doctor, who was Stanford and Harvard trained. And so I had utmost trust in this physician because of her education. And she completely failed me and said with each visit I'd make with a new symptom. And she thought that I was a hypochondriac because the lab tests weren't showing anything wrong with me. And I was like, but I know I'm having these symptoms. And I hear so many of my friends now talking about this kind of thing. And so I knew something was up, but having your doctor tell you, no, nothing's wrong with you, you are imagining it. Right. Can actually make you kind of go crazy. And she said, I think that you're depressed and you're anxious and you have a young child. And so after going to about 20 specialists and no one being able to tell me otherwise, I finally went to go see a psychiatrist because I thought maybe I'm nuts. I mean, at that point, anything to get relief. And I went to see the psychiatrist who happened to have intake blood work on me. And he happened to have vitamin panel on it. And it's not something that even crossed my mind. No doctor had tested for it. And it came back and I was so deficient in all these key vitamins and minerals.
Wow.
Just entirely deficient. And like shockingly third world level deficiency. And it didn't really make sense because I had access to food. So I was really floored and took that information. And new doctor told me, I think you should try going gluten-free. And so I was like, well, that's strange. I thought that was just sort of like, frankly, a Hollywood trend,
Yeah.
And annoying maybe, or like hippie and I don't know, just annoying. Right. And so, but I thought, well, you know what, I'll try anything at this point just to feel better. And I went gluten-free and I started feeling better. And I started like supplementing back the vitamins. And I'm like, what the heck? What is it about gluten that's doing this? So that opened up a whole new world. And I went to a conference, a big celiac and gluten sensitivity conference in New York. And some scientists were saying, we don't know what's behind this epidemic of gluten sensitivity, but we don't think it's actually the gluten. Because if you sterilize gluten and you give it to someone who's gluten sensitive, they don't have an inflammatory response. So there must be something else going on. And that was the key moment that I said, well, what else is on this wheat? And it turns out that glyphosate, which is once again the active ingredient in the weed killer Roundup, is sprayed over all of our non-organic grains in harvest. Mm-hmm. And so we're all eating this chemical and all of us are consuming grains probably more than anything else. And it's just led to this huge epidemic of chronic disease. So I'm happy to say that I'm healthy now, but it was a long road, and it is a long road to figure out what it is that's causing it when Western medicine is telling you, you know, you're crazy.
Right, exactly. Well, is that what compelled you to launch Glyphosate Facts? Like, how long afterward did you really become an advocate for, you know, removing glyphosate?
So it was interesting. At the time this was happening, it so happened that there are a bunch of, maybe you've heard of them, but there have been a lot of trials for cancer trials around this chemical. And it's been very clearly shown in published research that this can cause non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So exposure to Roundup can cause it, specifically glyphosate, the active ingredient. And so I went up because I live in San Francisco. That's where the trials were. Mm-hmm. And so I went up because I just wanted to see if there were going to be protests, because Monsanto, the owner at the time of Roundup, mm-hmm. is a notorious company that just people have hated forever because they just... Right. Are the devil get a company for making poisons. And it's just crazy. So I went to San Francisco, which, by the way, is historically a very passionate place with all kinds of protests. And there was not a single person that was there. Mm-hmm. And I was so shocked. And so I walked right into the courthouse. I sat right down with the lawyers and said, hey, I'm here because I wanted to hear about the trial. Uh-huh. And no one was there covering it on a day-to-day basis. And so I said, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to blog each day of this trial because there are a lot of secrets about Monsanto that are coming out. And so I first founded the blog Glyphosate Girl, because industry hides it like crazy. And if you criticize what industry is doing, so in this case, Bayer, because Bayer bought Monsanto in 2018, then they will go after you like trolls and say you're crazy. So, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. it's a tricky road.
Yeah, the information is instantly suppressed. Kelly, we're going to take a quick break right here, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about Roundup as a mineral chelator.
Hey, listeners, quick break here. We hope that you're enjoying Eco Justice Radio. Stay connected by subscribing on all major podcast apps or visit our website. That's ecojusticeradio.org. You can check out previous shows and guests and listen to extended episodes. You can also get connected with us on social media. Today, you are listening to Glyphosate, Killing More Than Weeds, with host Carrie Kim and guest Kelly Ryerson, founder of Glyphosate Facts.
Dr. Alexandra Munoz posted this testimony from U.S. Representative Thomas Massie of Kentucky. Now, Thomas has been doing incredible work. The good old Epstein files are out there, thanks to him and Ro Khanna. And he really is stepping up against this glyphosate push and so many other things. He's really one of the few bright lights. I don't agree with him on everything, but I have to say I'm extremely impressed with his advocacy in recent days. Here he is talking glyphosate.
This government is under siege. All three branches of this government is under siege by lobbyists and lawyers from a German company named Bayer. They spent over $9 million lobbying the executive branch and the legislative branch so that they don't have to be liable for any damages that their herbicide causes, otherwise known as Roundup. And they're having some success. Now, they haven't had any success yet in this chamber to get that immunity. They've had some success in the state legislatures, which are also under siege, to get this immunity from liability. Look, the Constitution guarantees people a trial if they've been harmed. Why are we contemplating going against the Constitution? The Attorney General has opined favorably for this German company in front of the Supreme Court about getting rid of any liability that they should have for any damages. And the most recent thing that we've seen, the executive branch, by the way, The president's chief of staff and the president's attorney general worked for one of the biggest lobbying firms that's received hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars from Bayer. And maybe that's why we've seen an executive order that says that the production of this chemical from this German company is a national defense priority. And we know why they're doing that. It's to keep them from having any liability. Everybody in this country deserves their day in court. This is wrong. We shouldn't succumb to the lobbyists, not in the executive branch, not in the judicial branch, and certainly not here in Congress and not in the state legislatures. But there's a lot of money at play. And I implore my colleagues to resist it and do not give them immunity.
So, Kelly, we're back. Could you explain? I know it's kind of like going to the beginning, but for people who, because we've said a lot of people don't even know that there's any harm in Roundup and they have it sitting in their garage. So could you explain the relationship of Roundup and Roundup Ready GMOs? It's really very kind of elementary stuff, but it's important for people who don't know much about glyphosate already.
Yeah. And it's such a good question to ask because I was very confused when I started this. I didn't realize how very connected GMOs are to Roundup. Frankly, didn't know anything about anything with agriculture or what I was eating. So it's very interesting. So glyphosate, so Monsanto launched Roundup, which with glyphosate in it in 1976. Mm-hmm. And they then put it on the market and it was mildly successful and still second to a different herbicide, but people liked it and people were buying it and using it residentially and farmers were using it. But of course, they're using it to spray to kill a weed on a farm that they have to be really careful around their crops because if you spray it on the crop, the crop dies. Right. So their Monsanto's patent on glyphosate was set to expire and it was one of their blockbuster products. And so they knew that they needed to change something in order to keep on making profit. So that is when they started to develop these genetically modified seeds. Mm-hmm. And they said, this is the future because we're going to be able to create this food using genetically modified seeds and they're going to have better yields and they're just going to make the farmer's life easier and all this amazing accolade towards what they call, they say it's biotechnology. And, you know, I guess it is biotechnology, but so now when you see biotechnology as it relates to agriculture, usually they're talking about GMOs. So they launched in 1996, they said, okay, so we need to be sure we keep on selling Roundup. So we're going to launch this. We are going to genetically modify a seed so that when a farmer plants it, it can grow and you can just spray Roundup on top of the crop and it won't die because it's been bred to be resistant to the effects of it, of glyphosate. Mm-hmm. So they did this with corn and soy and cotton and those are the three biggies in terms of genetically modified seeds that are round. They're called Roundup Ready mm-hmm. seeds because they are ready to be sprayed and yeah. they won't die. So they launched that. GMOs took off like wildfire in the United States, quickly became the dominant form of corn and soy that we have here and cotton that we mm-hmm. have in this country. And just that you see the use of glyphosate explode in parallel with it.
And that was 1996, right?
Yep, exactly. And it's interesting because I traced back to when I started having just some kind of everyday digestive problems. And it was in 1996. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, but maybe that's what that was. That was the launch.
Well, it's amazing to think that this has been, that glyphosate has been around for really 5 decades now. And then, but also like you said, to talk about the explosion of it when the Roundup Ready crops seeds were developed. So You know, and I think we've already had like this first wave of GMOs, and now we know we're kind of getting ready to see like, I think a second wave. People have already been talking about that. But I wanted to ask you if you could also share how Roundup or glyphosate is used in agriculture as a desiccant and explain what a desiccant is. And then that kind of traces back to all the conversation you had about grain products. But
yeah, absolutely. So around actually the same time, in the late 90s, early 2000s, the farmers realized, oh, this also is extremely effective at drying out a crop all at once. So when someone is farming grains, it is hard at harvest time because on a typical field, the grain will mature at different rates from one side of the field to the other. So when you are all set and you're going out and you want to be harvesting, It's much easier to have everything just ready to go and you do one fell swoop and cut all your grain and you're just done. Right. So, but that actually throughout history hasn't been the way that it's done, because that wasn't possible unless you could kill off all of it and dry it all out at one time. Mm-hmm. So that is where Roundup came in, and farmers realized, okay, we can take our sprayer out there, spray it all so that it dies, and then we'll go in with our combine and farm it and harvest it. And so they harvest it, it's put in the combine, it's processed then at the mill, and then it's directly put out into food producers' factories. So the step between being sprayed with Roundup then to our bread or these other grain-containing foods is really quick. And it's estimated that over 80% of our dietary exposure to Roundup is actually through this process of pre-harvest spray.
Now, Kelly, could you share with us about your website and how listeners can be connected with you and stay abreast of whatever it is that you are doing?
Yes, absolutely. So my website is glyphosatefacts.com, and you can just get some bare bones information that hopefully is clear to you, or if you want to make a presentation off of what is glyphosate, if you're a student or to your community, you should be able to access the information there. And if you want to come and follow me on Instagram, that's where I'm most active. And you could hear my various reels of what's irritating me that day about glyphosate. And so that's at glyphosategirl.com, and you can DM me, and I'm pretty responsive. So thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Kelly. It was such an important conversation, because really, there's not a person on the planet that isn't affected by glyphosate. Like, I think we would probably find that in every single human being on this planet.
Completely. Absolutely.
So it's up to all of us also to change and eliminate glyphosate from the ecosystem.
Absolutely. Thanks for giving me a chance to talk about it.
Yes, thank you again, Kelly, so much for all your work. More power to you.
Hey, listeners, to check out the extended recording of the show or to explore other shows, visit our website, ecojusticeradio.org, and also subscribe to our podcast. This has been Eco Justice Radio and the show Glyphosate, Killing More Than Weeds. Thank you to our guest, Kelly Ryerson, and thank you to our listeners for joining us. Please connect with us on social media. You can find us at Eco Justice Radio, SoCal 350, and Adventures in Waste. If you like what you heard and you want others to be informed, subscribe and share the episodes. You have been listening to Eco Justice Radio. Executive producer Jack Eit, producer and co-host Jessica Aldridge, co-host Carrie Kim, and engineer and original music by Blakequake Beats. And until next time, remember, the power is yours.
Well, your president won't help your non-hate brown folks. They won't make your troubles disappear. They can't change the fact you're broke. They won't turn everyone woke. There ain't a whole lot they can do to make you less a slave to fear. It's your president, but it ain't your picnic. No, it's a great big club, and honey bunches, we ain't in it. You and me, we ain't the ones to please. Now they got oligarchs and lobbyists and billionaires and gods and kings. Well, your president won't help you love your neighbor. They can't help you find inner peace. They won't change your mind. Them changes start inside, and that's outside their jurisdiction. Well, for now, at least, it ain't your president, and it ain't your picnic. No, it's a great big club, and honey bunches, you ain't in it. You and me, we ain't the ones to please. No, they got oligarchs and lobbyists and billionaires and gods and kings and thieves and things you can see.
Donate your used car, truck, or boat to the KPFK Vehicle Donation Program. It's an easy way to help support KPFK and receive a tax deduction. All you have to do is call 877-KPFK-AUTO. An operator will arrange a good time to pick up your vehicle. 877-KPFK-AUTO or go online to kpfk.org.